All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Old Testament book of Numbers, chapter 24. Numbers, chapter 24. I want to speak to you this morning on this subject. Who is the real star of Christmas? Who is the real star of Christmas? And you'll see why I've entitled it that in just a few moments. Numbers 24. All right, just to familiarize you, Numbers 22, 23, 24, and 25, basically, have to do with the people of Moab and their king, a fella whose name was Balak, and then a prophet. Now, this prophet's name was Balaam. I'm trying to figure out what I was supposed to say. I read something, and I was supposed to say something right there, but I can't remember what it was. But anyway, I read something about his name, and I thought, now, don't forget that. You'll need to use that. And I forgot it. So anyway, I didn't take my memory pills this morning. I couldn't remember to take them. So bad, huh? Dad jokes galore. Look out. All right. So when you get into chapter 24, Balaam is going to do, we're going to see something happen here that he never in his wildest dreams ever thought would happen. In a nutshell, this guy was hired, Balaam was hired by Balak, the king of Moab, to speak a prophecy against Israel. All right, that he was a prophet, and he was basically hired to give a prophecy against Israel by one of Israel's enemies. And so what God does is God says, no, you're not doing that. And God flips everything on Balaam and on Balak as well. And it's really an interesting story. And I want to share a couple of thoughts with you concerning this prophet, this false prophet, Balaam. And so keep your Bible open. We're going to go back and read a couple of other verses in chapter 22. So just keep your Bible open. But let's begin reading, please, in verse 17. And here is the prophecy which Balaam spoke. Now, he was hired to speak against Israel, but God changes that. Look at verse 17. Verse 17 says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. In other words, not anytime soon. All right? There shall come, you see that? There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of where? Israel. All right? So instead of speaking against Israel, Balaam speaks for Israel and tells us that there is a star that is going to come out of Jacob, and there is a scepter that is going to rise out of Israel. All right, so you've got a star out of Jacob, and you've got a scepter out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth. All right, now I'm going to stop reading right there, and for those of you who remember back in 2010, we did a Wednesday night series of Wednesday night Bible studies on the second coming as it is mentioned in the Old Testament scriptures. And we spent a great deal of time, a couple of Wednesday nights, just on this prophecy that Balaam spoke concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I pointed out to you is the fact that this star that is mentioned, this star speaks of our great Savior. This was a promise that that the Savior was coming, and that's what I want to preach on this morning primarily. But notice also that the verse says, "And a scepter shall rise out of Israel." And so this scepter, of course, a man with a scepter is a ruler. Okay, the man with the scepter is sitting on the throne. He is ruling the nation. And so this is a reference not to the Lord coming as our Savior. That's the star. But remember, when you look at Bible prophecy, you always have the first advent, which happened 2,000 years ago. That's what we're about to celebrate on December the 25th. But you also have in all these prophecies a prophecy about the second coming of Christ. And so when Christ comes again at the end of the tribulation period, at the Battle of Armageddon, with all of his saints, we all come back with him, then he is going to destroy the corners of Moab. In other words, he is going to destroy what was Moab, which is today Islamic. That's the tie that binds all of these nations together. You see in the next verse, Edom. Edom, all right? Edom, that's the northern part of Saudi Arabia and the western part of Jordan. And all that region is Muslim. It's all Muslim. And you say, well, why is he going to destroy these folks? Because these are the ones who are out to destroy Israel today. We are seeing this already happen. Folks, listen, what you are seeing in our country with the invasion of our nation, of our country, what you're seeing is the Bible fulfilling itself right before our eyes. And we need to realize what's going on before it's too late. I think there is one person who is sitting in the White House who understands this, but I'm not sure there's a whole lot of support in Congress for this position. But if we're not careful, we're going to be taken over simply by invasion. Invasion. And we're here, all right? So this is what we're seeing in our country. So notice here, though, in verse 17, Balaam says, prophesying about Jesus, and says that the Savior, the star, is coming. But then the scepter, the one who holds the scepter, is also coming. So that's the first advent. That has already happened. And we are now waiting on the second advent, the second coming of Christ, all right? So keep your Bible open here, and I want to speak this morning on who is the real star of Christmas. And again, the star out of Jacob speaks of our great Savior, Jesus, who was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. All right, let's pray and end the message. Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word. And I pray that you will bless your word to our hearts. Give us understanding of what we're about to hear. And Father, I pray that you'll help me as I speak, and I pray you'll bless our folks as they listen. And Father, help us to focus upon the real star of Christmas, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about all the things that go along, the peripherals that go along with the Christmas season. But Father, the focus is to be upon the star of Christmas, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. So bless the message and speak to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, this section of the book of Numbers is telling us about what I'm going to call a phony prophet. All right, he's just a fake hireling prophet. Just you pay him to say what you want him to say, and he'll do it. That was Balaam. All right, and in the couple of previous chapters, we learn that Balaam was hired by the king of Moab. His name was Balak, and he hired Balaam to curse Israel and to bless Moab. But you'll see here in chapter 24, in verse 17, he flipped it around, didn't he? Yeah, he cursed Moab, and then he blessed Israel. And so he certainly did not do what Balak paid him to do. But Balaam did his best to do what he was hired to do, but God Almighty, the true God of heaven, would not allow Balaam to curse Israel or Judah. Now, the Lord put in Balaam's mouth the true Christmas message. He put in Balaam's mouth all those years ago the true Christmas message, even though Balaam was not a man of truth. God already had done some absolutely amazing things because Balaam was a complete a mess who had accepted money to do that which was man's will and not God's will. He should have been seeking to do the will of God, but he was dead set on doing what Balak wanted instead of what God wanted him to do. Now, look back for just a moment to chapter 22. Look back at chapter 22, and you'll look at verse 22, and here's what we read. It says in 22:22, "And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him." Wow. I mean, you know, the angel of the Lord shows up and stands in front of him. All right. So it says, "Now he was riding upon his ass," that's his mule, his donkey, which is probably what I'm going to use the word, "and his two servants were with him. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way." Are you listening? The donkey. The man of God didn't see him, but the donkey did. That's strange, isn't it? Oh, it gets better. It says, and the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. In other words, when this donkey saw the angel of the Lord with a sword drawn, the donkey said, I don't think I'm supposed to go that way. So he turned and he went another way. And Balaam's doing everything he can to turn him back the direction that he was wanting him to go. And he wouldn't turn. So Balaam gets off. He's got his staff in his hand. And he proceeds to beat the stuffing out of the donkey. You with me? Well, he gets back on. And it says, the angel of the Lord, in verse 24, stood in the path, in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot. He's really ticked now. Man, he gets off and again, and takes his staff and starts wailing away on his donkey. Look at verse 26. It says, and the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place. In other words, there's no way around. The donkey sees the angel of the Lord standing in what was a little narrow spot. No way to get around, and so what does he do? Well, or she do? Let's look and see. It says where there was no way, middle of verse 26, to turn either to the right hand or to the left, and when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. In other words, she just collapsed. She fell just flat. I'm not walking through this. I'm not going to try and push my way through the angel of the Lord. No, sir. So she just collapsed. All right, so verse 27, when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled. And he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord, watch this now. Oh, my goodness, you can't tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. All right, you can't tell me that. Listen. It says, and the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. And she said unto Balaam. I didn't know they spoke Hebrew. Did you know that? That's amazing, isn't it? It says, and she said unto Balaam, verse 28, what have I done unto thee, that thou hast smitten me these three times? Now that's strange, isn't it? Hey, it gets even more strange. Balaam talks back to the donkey. That's, wow. I mean, Balaam said unto the ass, verse 29, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill thee. Well, that's not nice. Watch. And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, no. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee because thy way is perverse before me. Man, that is just absolutely amazing, isn't it? You see, God is going to put a prophecy on Balaam's lips against his will, stating an amazing truth about God's eternal purpose of sending a star out of Jacob and a scepter out of Judah, and or out of Israel. And this prophecy shows us that absolutely, listen carefully now, this prophecy shows us that absolutely nothing would ever be able to stop God Almighty from sending his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what the devil tried to do, no matter what any of his demons tried to do, no matter what any king tried to do, even a false prophet could not stop the will of God. And God turned that thing around so that the prophecy would be given in Israel's favor, in the Lord's favor, and not in man's favor, and especially not in Balak's favor. The point is, folks, God will not be stopped by the devil or by anyone else from accomplishing his perfect will. Now, the term Star of Jacob, that speaks of our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Christ came to this earth, he was the star of the show. When he was here 2,000 years ago, for 33 and a half years, he was the star of the show. It was all about him. Oh, and by the way, it still is. It still is. But very few folks recognize him in that light. But he still is. Folks, I believe with all my heart that the day of the Lord is at hand. Don't you? I believe that the day of the Lord is at hand. There is nothing to prevent the Lord Jesus from coming back and taking his church out to go to heaven to be with him for all eternity. Not a thing. Not a thing. It could all start, boom, right now. Right now. We could hear that trumpet sound and be gone. So I'm excited about that. But it also is encouraging to read the story of Balaam and realize how much effort, how much time he spent trying to stop the blessing from going to Israel and go instead to Moab. And God said, no, no. You see, God's will is going to be done. So he's the star, still is the star. And I want to speak about that star this morning. First of all, the star speaks to us, or a star, any star, speaks to us of rank. Rank. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, our military were on display yesterday down at the stadium in Baltimore. We had the Army-Navy game yesterday, which I won't give the score lest Don Graff get all upset at me. Huh? Yeah, it was close. Yeah, 17-16. Yeah, it was close. But the Navy found a way. Anyway, I digress. I noticed all these fellas on the camera yesterday. And, you know, there were one-star generals and there were two-star generals and there were others there with lots of stripes and stars and all these things. And, you know, you could tell that, you know, who the brass was. You know, you could just look and see who the big shots were. You could tell by a lot of different things if you were watching. A couple of days ago, they were talking about some things that are happening down in Venezuela and on Newsmax, and they had this three or four star general. I don't remember which one he was now, but he looked real important, and he was on there, and then there were two retired colonels, I think two colonels, that one of them might have been a retired general, I don't remember. But anyway, they were talking about things, and you could just see that this fella who had all those stars on his shoulder was so respected by the other guest on the show. I mean, they were just they were just moved by this by being in the presence of this fellow. You could just see they just kind of kowtowed to him and I agree 100% with what the general say. I guess you would, I guess you would. You better. But anyways, point is, stars indicate rank. They indicate rank. And folks, I can assure you that the Lord Jesus Christ is the highest rank of anyone who has ever been on this planet of ours. Nobody outdoes him. Nobody shines brighter than him. I mean, he is the highest rank of anyone who has ever been. Think about it, folks. Jesus left the throne in heaven to come down to this earth. I mean, he laid aside all that in heaven that he had to come down here to be among us. What a Savior, what a Redeemer we have. I think sometimes, some of these folks from these third world countries, some of these dictator, leader, president, grand poobah types, I think sometimes they fudge a little bit on all the decoration, don't you? All right? I think sometimes they do. I wonder how much of the ribbons and the pins and the patches and the badges and the stars on their uniform, I wonder how many of those were actually earned. Sometimes. I mean, especially when you see some of these birds. Like Maduro down in Venezuela. He comes before a camera and he's got badges and hoops and pins and it looks like they need somebody to walk behind him to hold up all the medals and stuff that are dripping all over him. And it's almost like you better be careful. You're going to trip over all the pins that go down off your lapel, And in our military, we understand that if you have stars, you are highly ranked. But it is quite comical, though, to watch some of these tin-horn dictators who supposedly are the duly elected almighty potentate and Grand Poobah, His Royal Highness, and this little Weasley guy comes out with all this stuff all over him, and he's almost half embarrassed because of all the pins and the ribbons and the ropes and the badges and the awards that, you'd think he was a distant cousin of Napoleon or something. But you got to wonder, don't you? What'd you do to earn that? Well, we know what our generals do to earn that. We know what our generals do to earn theirs, but the world, that's the world that we live in today. That's the world we live in. Men trying to make themselves appear to be important. But the Lord Jesus, no doubt, highest rank of anyone ever. Our glorious Savior is not just the King. He is the King of Kings. He's not just the king. He's the King of Kings. I don't know of anybody who has ever taken that title, because nobody deserves it. But the Lord Jesus is already declared the King of Kings. Not only is he the King of Kings, but he's also the Lord of Lords. If you go over to Revelation 19, let's just turn over there real quick. The book of the Revelation, chapter 19. Let me read to you a couple of wonderful things here about our Savior. All right, Revelation 19. And let's begin reading, please, in verse 11. Verse 11 says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him." That's us. "Upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth the sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations." This is the battle of Armageddon now. "And shall rule them," this is the millennium, "with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Amen. Amen. That's our Savior. Folks, here, all those years ago, hired to do the opposite of what God had him do. He gave a prophecy telling us that the star was coming, our Redeemer. And folks, listen, it doesn't make a hill of beans bit of difference what the world thinks about him. It's already settled in heaven. The Word of God states it. He is coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Period. Case closed. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Second thing I want you to see. I want you to notice that the star speaks to us of stability. Stars speak, first of all, of rank, but secondly, stars can speak to us of stability. I was thinking the other day, I got home after dark. Every day this last week, and the week before that. But I got home before dark, and before I went inside, I stepped out on the driveway and just started looking up at the night sky and seeing how much of the Milky Way I could see. We have one of those automatic lights that comes on when it gets dark. So I went down the hill a little bit. So I get beyond that light and then looked up. And I'm standing there looking at the North Star, and I'm looking at some of the constellations and Orion's Belt and the Seven Sisters and all those things. I'm standing there looking at them all. And then it occurred to me, you know, these are the same stars Abraham saw. Yeah. They don't change. How about that? I mean, David, when he was out tending his father Jesse's sheep, he's sitting out there with his harp in his hand, and he's playing the harp and watching over his flock, and then he looks up. And you'll notice in several of the Psalms, David talks about the stars. They impressed him. And what about them? Well, here's an amazing thing. They don't move. We move, they don't. We see them as the year goes by. They can tell you exactly where every star is going to be because they're stable. They can tell you from day to day what's going to be in the night sky. I get this newsletter from a scientific magazine for sky watching, I guess. And they send out an email, and I go on it and I look at it and read all the things on it, and it'll tell you, look here, and you'll see this. Look here, and you'll see that. And so you go out and you look up. There it is, right there where they said it was going to be. It's amazing, but they're stable. They're stable. I mean, I when we were down in New Zealand and way down there in the southern hemisphere, and I'd never been in the southern hemisphere, but I was anxious to see, so I went out one night, stood in the pastor's driveway where we were staying in Auckland, and I stood in his driveway, and I looked up. It was a clear night, no moon, just clear as it could be. And I thought, well, this is certainly not like it is at home. This is different. But you know, if you lived in the southern hemisphere, you looked up, you'd be fine with that. Because it would be stable if you lived there and you knew what was there. Well, now we're up here in the north. You look up, it's going to be the same tonight as it was last night. Do you know that? Yeah. Stable. And you know, we all depend upon the stability of our Savior in all things, don't we? You know, our Bible says about Christ in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Never changes. He's immutable, never changes. What a Savior we have. That's good to know. You know, the Lord Jesus doesn't wake up on a snowy morning and say, oh man, I got such a headache. No. He's the same yesterday. Everything that the world trusts in eventually lets us down. But our Savior will never let us down. I probably shouldn't say this. You see these people on TV every now and then, you say, who in the world was that? And then you back it up a little bit and you look and you say, I know that face. Well, I know what that face should look like. It doesn't exactly look like what it should look like. And then you find out, you Google the name and you find out that, you know, Dr. Hollywood had plastic surgery done on their face. All right, and now it looks like their head's blowing a bubble, you know, just pick everything and pull it back. What in the world? You know, I'm just going to go with what I got. You know? Yeah, I don't go for all that myself. But I you see the point? We all change. We all change, but the Lord never changes. The believer in Christ has the unchanging, everlasting Christ who will never change. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Thirdly, the star can speak of influence. Influence. You know, the ancient Chaldean people studied the stars and charted the heavens. They're the first ones that ever did that. And they sought to influence thinking with what became known as astrology. Astrology, the creation of the zodiac and predicting horoscopes and all that kind of foolishness. Astrology is nothing but a bunch of nonsense. That's what it is. It's playing with the devil's what it is. But it's unreliable. It's contradictory. And it's guided by satanic influences. But the influence of the Star of Jacob is not nonsense. You see, the Lord Jesus has taken so many lives and has completely turned those lives around and taken people from destruction into a glorious Christian walk with their Father. Yeah, that's what the Lord did for me. How about you? Man, I wasn't walking with the Lord, not at all. I was walking against the Lord. But then the Lord saved me. And boy, you talk about something that was a change. I've told you all before that about a month after I got saved, my dad walked down the aisle one Sunday night, and we didn't even know he had come to church. But he came walking right down the center aisle. And one of the young people was sitting beside of me, and he elbowed me and pointed, and I looked over, and here came my dad. And my dad got saved. They sat down and went over the plan of salvation with him, make sure. He said, yeah, I understand, and I'm ready to receive Christ. And so he prayed and asked the Lord to save him. So the pastor called all of us, my mom, my brother, my sister, and we all came and stood with him. And the church was rejoicing. They had been praying so hard for him. And the pastor said, well, brother, what was it that finally convinced you that you needed to trust Christ as your Savior? And my dad pointed at me and he said, anything that can change that has got to be real. So I grabbed my little brother and put him over there and stood behind him. Anything that can change that. I didn't know I was a that. But you see, the Lord changes hearts. Christ's influence is unmatched. His influence has made drunkards sober, thieves honest, liars men of truth, gamblers godly, and high-minded and haughty men of great humility. That's what happens when Christ saves your soul. His influence can turn the world completely upside down. Do you remember that in the book of Acts? These who have turned the world upside down have come to us. Then lastly, the star speaks to us of guidance. You know, for millennia now, folks on land and in air, and especially on the seas, have used the stars to guide them. They can be used to guide because, as I said a little while ago, they're trustworthy. They're reliable. But the real star of Christmas, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one who can guide us better than anybody else. You know, I believe with all my heart, if we just let the Lord be the Lord in our lives, He could do a whole lot better with us than we can do with ourselves. No guide is better than the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, the star of Jacob, who came to give light to all men. Let me tell you something, folks. You never have to worry about being led astray by the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll never lead you astray. He'll guide you in His ways, with His truth, and in His righteousness. Now, in my introduction, I said the Lord Jesus is the real star of Christmas. When He came to this earth, He was, and He still is, the true star. He's the star of the show. On this night, when Christ was born, the heavens opened with tidings of great joy, Luke tells us, that were being sung by an angel choir. The shepherds came to see the announced Savior who had been born. The wise men started their journey that would take them 2 years to come to Israel in order to find the King of the Jews. But sadly, with all this time that has passed, and with the devil so busy, few recognize Him as the star today. Folks, I hope you'll pause long enough to realize who the Lord Jesus truly is. He is the star of the show. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for Your wonderful word, and I pray You'll bless this to our hearts today. We are so thankful that we serve a living, risen Savior. When Balaam made this prophecy, the first leg of this prophecy was fulfilled. The Lord Jesus indeed was born. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. Our Savior was born. He lived and He died. And He went back to heaven. He's now calling a church to Himself. And Father, I pray that we'll soon hear that trumpet sound and go to be with Him. And Father, I pray that You'll help us to realize that we're on the winning side, so we might as well just get all the way in and be all we can be for the cause of the winning side. So bless Your word, Father. Give us understanding of what we have heard today. And if we realize that Jesus is the star and still is, I suppose we won't argue with Him when He leads and guides and helps us. But Father, help us just to love Him back and serve Him with all of our hearts. And we'll thank You for what You do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.